You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Friday morning to you. I'm Mike McNamara for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you're having a good morning so far. And I'm going to ruin it here in a few minutes. No, I'm not going to ruin it. But you know what? I'm pissed. I am so, you know, this is just an opinion, my opinion, based on my years of experience. And I've had good experience. Let me tell you about my experience for those of you who don't know me. I had the good privilege to cross paths in my life with great leaders. And as a result of that experience, I know shit leadership when I see it. That's right. I know shit when I see it. Probably the first one I ever encountered, Marty Steele. I was a lieutenant. He was a lieutenant colonel. He went on to be the first, I want to say, lieutenant general tank type Marine Corps in the history of the Marine Corps. And the only one, as far as I know. A special, extraordinary kind of a guy. Incredible. A great leader. He could talk it. He could do it. He could, you know, inspire it, you know, the whole spectrum. He could play the range of characters that most leaders play. From there, I had the incredibly great fortune to go to the basic school as an instructor in 1989, where I crossed paths with John Kelly, now the director of Homeland Security. He was a major, I a captain, a newly minted captain. And then from there, I worked with guys like, you've heard a bunch of them on this program, you've heard Dave Furness repeatedly, you just heard Paul Kennedy, you've heard, who else, you haven't heard Lou Caprarotta, you haven't heard Jody Osterman, you've heard Phil Smith, really smart guys, and they were in the process of trying to figure out maneuver warfare, but smart guys who worked hard and care about the Marine Corps. John Allen followed Kelly there. Then I went out to the fleet, and my battalion commander was Robert B. Neller, who is now the commandant of the Marine Corps. These guys are all good personal friends of mine. And so, you know, you stay in touch, and you know, General Allen and Kelly have both been on the program. Furness and Kennedy then sent me an email when they were in with the 1st Marine Division and said, hey, why don't you come back on active duty? I did, and then I go to Ramadi in 2004 with the division, and Kennedy's across the river with 2-4, and I'm working in plans, doing nothing really, and bored, and OPTing, which I hated, and so I had, General Kelly now, Brigadier General Kelly, is now the assistant division commander. A guy named Joe Dunford, that's right, the current chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he's the chief of staff. But I don't really know, I don't know Dunford, I never met him. And I wasn't part of the division prior to you know, January of 2004, so I didn't know of him even. That's how stupid I was. And so General Mattis's aide gets wounded, Kelly comes to me and says, I want you to be the staff sec, we're going to take the staff sec and make him the aide. So then I have a chance to work for General Mattis and General Kelly with Colonel Dunford. Okay. So I get a chance to watch the inner workings of leaders working huge issues that the world is focused on a daily basis. And you get a chance to see what leadership is and what it's not. And so I do that, and then I met Colonel Larry Nicholson, and went back to Fallujah with him, got to watch him under pressure. Neller was there again as the assistant MEF command, the deputy MEF commander. Got a chance to watch Neller in action a little bit. And then I went back to Afghanistan. Furness was the commanding officer of RCT-1. Lou Caprarotta was the MEF forward commander. And so, I mean, I've just had a chance to, by fate and by luck, to be in a position to know and serve with great leaders, and now guys of national prominence. And I have to tell you, when I say that the crisis in the nation, we don't have a crisis of anything but leadership. It is awful to watch on a daily basis. The nonsense that goes on around this country. And I don't know what saves us from that. You know, you look around and say, okay, well, what's going to change that? I wish I had an answer. So this morning, I should probably save this, but you open the news, Michael Flynn, a former lieutenant general in the United States Army, is now in negotiations with Congress for immunity in order to testify. So riddle me this, Batman. How the fuck does a former lieutenant general in the United States Army, right, an intel guy, how does he get sideways and need immunity? In what world does he lose his way to such an extent that now he needs immunity? And maybe Flynn's just a piece of shit, right? I don't know. He certainly seemed unlike the general officers that I know, who tend to be very measured and very disciplined in their public speech habits. Flynn seemed to be the exact opposite. I'm not exactly sure. So now he, what? I don't get it. And why does it seem so difficult to go to Washington, D.C. and work on the problems of the nation? I don't get that either. I had a former senator that came on and blames part of it on the media and the fairness doctrine, and says the landscape out there, the media that brings the story to our citizens every day, is dominated by the polls, right? The conservative right wings, and then you have the lefties. If you attempt to compromise and find middle ground, you find yourself in what he likened to no man's land in the First World War, that area between the trenches where the only thing out there was dead people. Yeah. He said the only thing that happens if you go there is you will assure yourself of a contested primary within your own party the next time you run. You will be called a sellout. So, you know, and then the next question is, okay, well, what changes that dynamic? What changes that dynamic? What normally changes something in a country? A catastrophe. Right? A catastrophe. Of what order of magnitude? I guess would be the next question. How big of a catastrophe does this nation need to get its act together? I don't know. But it certainly is, on a daily basis as you watch this. And then you have the President of the United States, who doesn't seem to either want or see the need to act as a stabilizing influence on the world. He content with his stupid-ass Twitter account and the dumbass things that come out of his mouth to live in some other world that the rest of us don't live in. Okay, now some of what, you know, he says has merit, but as the President of the United States, what you see on a daily basis is we have a role, and those of us who've traveled around the world, we know it, right? We have a global role. We are the stabilizing influence in the world, and what we're starting to see is what happens when we're not stable. When we're not stable. Australia. Yeah, maybe we do need a closer relationship with China. Because what if we can't count on the United States? So I don't know. I'm not happy today. And it's a good thing we're going to talk about cooking because I think I see what everybody else sees and it's head scratching. I got an email from a friend of mine earlier this week said, hey, Mac, if you think it looks bad on the outside, you should see it from the inside. It's a clown show now. All the way around. It's a clown show. So, anyway, so to remedy that, Whitney Houston's going to sing the national anthem. And then Colleen will sing God Bless America in a with the hopes that that will all make me feel better. So, good morning to you. We're going to talk a little cooking today, as we do on Friday. Get ready for the weekend, and hopefully we'll feel better. We'll check some news headlines coming up here, and on a Friday, All Marine Radio continues. If you missed yesterday's program, let me focus you on two things that, from this week that you ought to listen to, and something that's coming up. All right, so. Actually, three things. If you have not listened to the Ned Seath interview, go to the podcast page, find it. Ned Seath was awarded the Navy Cross and the Bronze Star with V in February 11th for actions against the North Vietnamese Army in February of 1966. He's a machine gunner for, I think, Kilo 3rd Battalion, 4th Marines. So write that down, Ned Seath, S-E-A-T-H, and listen to the interview. So you'll listen to the first part, second part coming up on Monday. All right, after you do that, listen to General Kennedy's interview, and if you add General Furness's from the week prior to that. So this past Wednesday and the Wednesday before, two general officers of the Marine Corps have given the most in-depth interviews that you'll hear about social media, recruiting, recruit training, gender integration, why we should do it, why we don't do it, where we are now, what we're looking for, what we're studying. All those different things are in those two interviews. And there's no general officers that have been given their time that I know of, certainly, like those two have to be interviewed. And they're incredible pieces of where we're at. Now, General Kennedy made a great point when I asked him about Kate Germano's criticism. And if you haven't never read Kate Germano's criticism, it's this. We don't recruit for females. When they get in the pools, we're content that we have them and we'll ship them. We don't push them too hard because we don't want them to quit. As a result, they show up, they score low on physical fitness tests, and they tend to be lower performers. We would never tolerate that for men. They go to the range. We tolerate shooting is not a gender issue. There's no gender issue relative to shooting. Yet we tolerate subpar performance from women. Kate Germano's criticism. We need to integrate women along the OCS model where there's a female platoon in a male company. All right. So you'll hear, that's her criticism. You'll hear them both respond to that. And I would encourage you very specifically, make sure you listen to General Kennedy, because his contention is we've moved beyond that. That she was right when she wrote that, but we're beyond that now. We do recruit for women. The way we used to do it is we recruit for men, which was 95% of an RSO's mission, was 95% male. And in the course of recruiting males, you know, females showed up to the table and we would find them. Right? He said, no longer. We're looking for them now, actively. We're sponsoring athletic leagues. We're sponsoring USA Wrestling because we're interested in female wrestlers. We want them to be Marines. They have the mindset and the bodies to be Marines. And so both of those interviews are very interesting. And then add to that, all right, while you're writing this down, add to that yesterday's interview with Bob Nielsen. Because this is, let's see, on Monday we begin our 10th month. No. Yeah, we begin our 11th month. I can count. So we begin our 11th month of broadcasting. We're now starting to achieve the things that I envisioned when I conceived this little puppy. So, and one of those was yesterday. We're partnering with Bob Nielsen and the 100 entrepreneurs people, which he founded. Go check it out. It promotes veterans starting their own businesses. And a partnership with Turner Construction. Turner Construction wants to hire about 400 new career-level employees. They do construction around the world. They are looking for people that can run a team, can meet deadlines, and can get things done. They would prefer, Bob is looking for people with theater combat experience. You don't have to be a grunt, but people that have worked under that kind of pressure. Okay, so listen to the interview yesterday. If you know people that are looking to be employed by a great company, a global construction company, and we're not looking for people to swing hammers. We're looking for people to lead teams. Oh, Mac, what? Say that again? Yeah. When you hear construction, think management. Think leadership. That's what Turner wants. Okay? So Nielsen it has we've got some stuff. You can shoot me an email if you know somebody that's looking for work. Just go to the website. There's 15 different ways to contact me. So put that on your list of things to do. But that is the beginning of us creating other like partnerships and saying, hey, look, we have veterans. And then also the other partnership that we love is the work we're doing with Boulder Crest Retreat in the area of post-traumatic growth. Hey, we're not victims of post-traumatic stress. Certainly, many, many people that have gone to war live with that. I don't know how you go through that and not live with it. Okay? The question is it a disabling experience or is it something that grows you into a better person? Well, I think the challenge is to use it to help you grow to be a better person. Certainly there's unpleasantness associated with it, but it doesn't need to be debilitating. And organizations like Boulder Crest Retreat are organizations that take veterans with those experiences and transition them to a better place. And so when you look at that partnership, that's a pretty cool thing. That's a way, way, way cool thing. And that was the vision for All Marine Radio, to create a place where people can come and listen about the culture of the Marine Corps. And then while they're doing that, they talk about post-combat related mental health, let people know that they're not alone out there struggling, that all kinds of people struggle with it. But it doesn't need to be disabling, right? And don't take your life. Don't take your life. What we owe to our comrades that were killed is we owe them to live better, and we owe them to continue to make our nation a better place. So that's the mission, and we're starting to do more of it, which is very, very, very exciting. So with all of that said, Whitney Houston now sings the national anthem. Thanks for listening on a Friday. Good morning to you.
her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans. Wave us home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Done, Dad.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
.725 on the West Coast. As we get going here on a Friday morning. Currently raining in Quantico in 47. Camp Lejeune, raining in 69. Granbury, Texas, home of Mike Musselman. Mostly sunny in 60 up in North Dakota. How about this? Cloudy in 41. Fernand Palms, sunny in 49. Camp Pendleton, sunny in 47. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 75. Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 64. Fallujah, cloudy, and 70. The home of All Marine Radio. It is mostly cloudy, 57 degrees here on a Friday morning as we head into the weekend. Yeah, Mike Flynn. Why would he need immunity, for God's sake? I mean, they didn't even get started. It's really a stunning story. No, it's a stunning, disturbing story. Maybe it's not. Maybe I'm just stupid. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug. If you've never seen it, go to battlemug.com. Check it out. They have a whole line of products that are very cool. The Battle Mug is an industrial strength mug. That's right, with Picatinny rails on the side. Made from a 10-pound block of aluminum, milled, machined, and anodized. It's ready for you to make your own. On the bottom, you can have it engraved, your name, rank, unit, unit emblem, all that. Very cool. If you punch somebody with it, they're going down. Not that you would ever do that, but there's always the option, which is nice to have. Okay? So, yeah, if you're in the kitchen, all of a sudden scuffle breaks out in the middle of your kitchen, it's on the counter, poof, done. It is a perfect gift for any commemorative event, farewell, promotion, retirement, St. Patrick's Day, Christmas, Easter, birthday, I'm in trouble, I need to get out of trouble. So you can check out the whole line at battlemug.com. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. It is a Marine-originated, veteran-owned and operated company, and the product's made entirely in the United States. So, with that done, we will, Mike Flynn. Absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. But again, the crisis in the country, make no mistake about it. Everywhere you look, leadership, 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 leadership. Do the right thing. Stand up, take responsibility. Be straight. Do we even know that anymore? My sense is no. My sense is no. A lieutenant general in the United States Army asking Congress for immunity if he testifies. Man, so lost in the sauce, it's a joke. So, we're going to talk a little bit of cooking here on a Friday. We do that. Kind of get ready for the weekend, big basketball weekend, what we go from 8 to 4 to 0 to 1. 8 to 4 to 1. So that coming up as well. So pretty exciting stuff. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good. And I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Okay, so give me 1 second to play the big intro that I'm supposed to play right now. So relax, just give me a second. I got to find it. Stand by. Because this always puts a smile on my face. And I need one because I'm pissed today.
This is rock and roll. Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is this a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
It is early. The joining me is my hetero life partner, Kim Holmes. He is the official All Marine Radio. He's the official All Marine Radio chef, and so on Friday we talk a little bit of food. So, And it's good because I'm unhappy today. And so talking food is probably a good thing for me, probably good therapy for me. Kim, you know, last night, big night in our family, my youngest daughter, Colleen, Kim is her godfather. We went to high school orientation for Colleen.
Oh, wow. Oh, great. High school? Stop it.
Yes.
That sassy little cutie.
Yeah, my youngest. Yeah, holy smokes. Yeah, it was quite the event. And just laughed and shake my head when it happened. So, Colleen going to high school. I want to talk. I don't want to talk about current events today because I'm not in a good place. I'm really, and you and I have talked about this before, but what I see when I look at the news is I just don't see leaders that are that show up with their hat in their hand and humble and want to do the work of the nation. What I see is these politicians who don't compromise, who don't, you know, who don't put the nation before themselves. And I see a media that, in my opinion, is irresponsible, is profit driven, which I guess in the United States is the way it is. And it's the combination is a toxic cocktail for the nation because the right things aren't happening. And so it's very painful to watch. So, and we see it around the country. In terms of leadership in communities, leadership at universities, blah, 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 blah. So,
You know, Mac, what happened to Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
Yeah, was that always a fairy tale is my question.
Well, it probably was, but it was more truer then than it is now because
do you think it was, or is that just us?
No, Mr. Smith in Washington anymore.
Is that just us? Now, listen to this. Listen to this quote.
And so, my fellow Americans,
yeah,
ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Okay, now that guy, that's a great line in a speech, right?
Yes.
Did he mean, do you think he meant that? He was a Kennedy, for God's sake. What did the Kennedys do for the civil rights movement? Nothing. Nothing. They ran away from it like track stars. You want to know why? Because it was a loser politically. It didn't matter what the right thing was. And consider this. In fact, if you want to read a really interesting, it's a Pulitzer Prize-winning trilogy. And it's called Parting the Waters. His first name's Tyler. Hold on. Give me one second. And it's about the civil rights movement in the United States. It's absolutely riveting. It's the guy who writes it is called Taylor Branch. It's part of a trilogy, America During the King Years, from 1954 to 63, Parting the Waters. And then there's three books in the series. Let's see. Hold on. I'll give you the titles. But honestly, they read like fiction.
Yeah.
They read like fiction. You're thinking, that went on in the United States? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then, let's see. It's, the other one's called Pillar of Fire from 1963 to 65. And then At Canaan's Edge, which is the Promised Land. America during the King years, 1965 to 68. But I kid you not, it reads like fiction. And one of the most incredible parts of it is the Kennedys with, you know, people being shot for trying to register to vote in the South. Black people being trying, you know, the Freedom Riders. The buses were run off the road in Alabama and they set them on fire. Right? One of Kennedy's aides, a guy named John Siegenthaler, whose kid is a reporter now. You know that name, right, Kim? Siegenthaler?
Yeah.
He's a reporter for national reporter for ABC News. And I think he's getting ready to retire, so he's an older guy. But anyway, his dad happens to be in Birmingham doing something, but he works for the Kennedy, he works for the White House. So he goes by the bus station in Birmingham when the one bus that hasn't been burned in northeast Alabama pulls in. The head of the local Ku Klux Klan had called the chief of police in Birmingham and said, hey, don't give us 10 minutes after that bus pulls in. And, you know, you have guys with axe handles, and they see him, and they look in his seersucker suit. Oh, you're not from around here, are you, son? And they beat him, and they put him in a coma. But it reads like fiction. Honestly, you're reading it going, and it's so amazing. And what is the Kennedy response in all that? Yeah, Bobby, what do we do with that? John, hey, it's a boat loser. Just leave it alone. Leave it alone. And it was LBJ from Texas who gave us, you know, the Civil Rights Act of 19.
Well, he did. After Kennedy was killed, he got it all through.
Yeah, and then
not the Kennedys, but
LBJ.
LBJ was the hero.
Yeah, and the story's funny because you know Lyndon Johnson wants to talk to Martin Luther King in the White House, and Martin Luther King had been to the White House before, and you know had got their hopes up and blah 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 blah. So it's like, yeah, okay, this guy's from Texas. What is he gonna do? So they go meet, and Johnson tells him, "We're gonna get this passed." And Dr. King says, okay, that's great. When?
After he picked himself up off the floor.
When do you think, like right now, this thing's getting passed in the next 6 months. And King looked at him and said, okay, that sounds great. And he left the White House. He's like, that man has lost his mind. That thing's not going to pass. And bigger than snot. Lyndon B. Johnson. Gets this, but so that's my point. You know, it's like, you know, this is such a great, great line in a speech.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
And Kennedy gets elected for the first time, blacks vote for a Democratic candidate because the Democratic Party, and this blows people away who don't know history, but the Democratic Party was the party of slavery. It was the Dixiecrats, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And because Kennedy called Coretta King and asked if there was anything he could do, and the way that phone call happens is Sergeant Shriver, who's Kennedy's brother-in-law, waits till Bobby Kennedy's out of the hotel, and he goes in and he sits down with John Kennedy and said, hey, can you just call Coretta King and just tell her that, you know, that ask her if there's something we can do for her, you know, just call her. And so, and John Kennedy's like, well, yeah, I mean, I could. Do you think I should? And he's like, yeah, I absolutely think you should. And so he does it. Bobby Kennedy comes back to the hotel and throws a fit. He's ready to kill Sergeant Driver. That phone call and then word of that as it goes through the United States with handouts in different black churches is credited for the margin of victory, which is razor thin when Kennedy defeats Nixon in 1960. And then what do they do subsequent to that? Nothing. And so, I don't know. I don't know, Kim, if it was ever, if Mr. Smith going to Washington is a fairy tale and that it's always been about your own personal interest. And it's just, I don't know. I guess when you've served the nation and you've seen the sacrifice, it's certainly frustrating watching this kind of bullshit. And especially, you know, Flynn is a lieutenant general in the United States Army. What does he need immunity for?
Because of his arrogance, and because he lied and he made deals with the Russians and he helped Trump get elected because of the Russians?
No, I don't know about that, but he's not an honorable man. Well, I guess not. Because if he was, he wouldn't be asking for immunity. No, everything I did was on the up and up. So anyway, all right, we're gonna talk a little bit of cooking here on a Friday. So that'll be better for my blood pressure. The first thing I want to talk two things today. I want to talk lamb and I want to talk pans and pots. I was going through my kitchen yesterday and cooking. And I have this very pretty aluminum pan.
Yeah.
But every time I use it, it seems like food sticks to it, and I have to brawl with it to clean it. Can you explain to me the difference in pans? You know, because aluminum looks so pretty, and then we have stainless steel, and then we have cast iron. What are they for? What is an aluminum pan for?
Well, it's cheap and easy to use and lightweight. And when you get into the big stock pot, you know, the 30 quarts, 20 quarts on up stock pot, they're heavy. But that's for making stock, chicken stock, beef stock. And
why would I buy an aluminum pan?
Well, I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, okay.
I just wouldn't. And if you want to buy an aluminum fry pan, normally I would have spit on myself for saying this, but you buy it with Teflon coating on the inside so it doesn't stick. And you don't leave it depends what you're cooking, but with aluminum pans, they're thin, and the heat comes through there really fast if it's on high. And so you have to stand over it and take care of it. There are people that use aluminum for making omelets and things like that. I prefer stainless steel, or even I have a little 9-inch is your basic omelet pan, and it's Teflon lined. But I didn't, when I was doing commercial
work
omelet, I didn't use a Teflon pan. I used a steel pan, and it was called Califon. But you have to season it, and that means you take salt and a little oil, vegetable oil.
Hold on. Why would I buy an aluminum pan then?
You wouldn't.
Okay, so I wouldn't. So just because it's cheap.
Just throw them out. Throw them out of your cupboard. Come in, you know, give them to Goodwill.
Okay. You know? Just cheap. They're just cheap pans.
Yeah, and you can get the same results with an aluminum pan that's Teflon lined. Because that's the only way you can avoid sticking. Restaurants have a stack of aluminum pans for sautéing, you know, vegetables, making clams, things like that. They use it for each dish. They throw it in the tub. They use dish tub, and it gets washed, taken into the dishwasher. They wash them, and then they bring them back. Teflon, you just wipe it out.
Okay, so the bottom line is this, is that there's no use for aluminum for a decent cook other than a throwaway device. And if you are going to buy aluminum, get Teflon-lined aluminum so you don't go through what I go through.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Now.
They look pretty though.
Oh, they're gorgeous, but so does stainless steel. Stainless steel, if it gets a little burn on the bottom, you can soak it, soap in water, and set it aside for 15 minutes, and then scrub it out, and it'll wipe clean, and then you can use it again. And they have all different sizes of stainless steel saute pans. You can use a carbon steel skillet, all the ones I'm going to talk about now are affordable.
Okay.
The ones that aren't, I will tell you so.
Okay.
The carbon steel is kind of a professional thing for somebody who's, likes to cook and knows their pots and pans. You make fine sauces with, I have some very heavy copper that is, it can be tin lined. That has to be, that'll wear out after a few years, so you have to get it re-tinned. And you take that to your restaurant supply store and they'll send it off and get it done. But they also have copper on the outside and stainless steel on the inside. That's what I would recommend using. Copper distributes the heat, and usually copper pans have a real thick bottom. Now, what we're going to talk about is when you buy stock pots or, saucepans, you want a thick bottom, and it's usually the best are stainless steel with a thick piece of aluminum on the bottom around that covers the whole bottom that keeps things from burning. That's always the curse of this stuff, is you don't want to burn things because you get that,
Okay. I'm getting confused. So let's just talk about the basic. So if I were setting up a kitchen today, what kind of pans do I buy? If you would tell me buy this, what would you tell me should be the staple of my kitchen?
Okay, you buy a Loge, L-O-D-G-E, classic cast iron skillet. It's 12 inches across the top. It's got a steel, a cast iron handle coming out of one side, and like a normal pot and pan.
Okay.
And then it has a little handle where you can put your hand in. When you're using that, you've got something in there. The pan is hot, so you have to wear oven gloves.
Right.
Always have a pair of serious oven gloves and keep them dry.
Okay.
Oven gloves.
All right. Don't get distracted now. So it's a 12-inch stain cast iron skillet. Yes.
Cast iron skillet.
Okay.
And it costs about $30 or so.
Okay.
Now that's affordable, believe me.
Got
and
it.
That is something that you can cook just about anything except spaghetti sauce.
Okay.
Now, when you don't cook tomatoes in cast iron because cast iron is very porous, but it also wipes out when you're done using it. And if there's something stuck, you soak it, then you wipe it out. And every time I use my cast iron skillet, once it's dry, I take a little bit of Crisco or vegetable oil, like, a teaspoon. And I rub it all in the inside and the outside and the bottom. And what that does It keeps it from rusting. If you just sit a wet cast iron skillet out there and leave it alone, it'll rust. You have to dry it thoroughly, and then you oil it, and that also helps things from not sticking the next time you use it.
Okay. All right. That's the whole...
That's the most... That, for me, if I had one skillet, it would be that. And if I was going to make tomato sauces, I would buy a stainless steel, and they have different ranges from $50 to $500, depending on the size of the stainless, the quality of the stainless steel. Like my commercial ones were very expensive, but they all have a thick bottom, an extra piece of aluminum on the bottom. Now, not on the inside, it's just attached to the outside of the stainless steel. And that is for doing soups, sauces, spaghetti sauce, things like that, and it should have a lid. And that's that would be your stock pot or your soup pot, stews, things like that, if you're not using your crock pot. But that would be number two. Number three would be a saucepan, stainless with a thick bottom, anywhere from 6 to 12 quarts, with a long handle on it and a lid. Okay?
Got it.
Then I would buy a smaller one of those to make oatmeal or whatever you want to do with it. Very, very inexpensive. And all these can be found at Bed Bath & Beyond or your favorite store. You'll usually find the best prices, I'm sure, at something like Sam's or Costco or a restaurant supply store. Or I always buy my stuff at Bed Bath & Beyond if I'm they have everything from cast iron to stainless to copper. They've got it all. And I'm not getting paid by them.
No. We know that. We know that.
It's just a very convenient store that if anything, whatever you buy out of there, you can take it back. They give you your money back. Or you can exchange it, and nobody blinks an eye. Okay? Now, then we go to the sauté pan. Now, there's two kinds. Well, there's the kind I'm going to talk about, there's, of course, aluminum, but we've had that discussion.
Right.
I would go with
steel. Got it.
We're talking sauté pan.
Right.
But my preference would be like a 12-inch nonstick fry pan. And it usually runs around $25, folks. And it has a long handle on it, and it's probably, it could be coated with a rubber coating, or if it's just a steel handle that comes out, you can, at the store, you can buy these thick rubber covers to slide over the handle.
Got it.
That we used to have at Sanders.
Okay.
My restaurant for, so you don't burn your hands. Because
right.
You don't have time to put gloves on and off. But, and also, your hands get burned enough where you develop scar tissue over the whole bottom of your hand. So you can pretty much grab any damn pan in a thought. Because you have no feeling in your hands anyway. But don't go where I did. But that's from many years in the kitchen. But
okay. So the bottom line
is... Those are your basic pans.
Okay.
Now, I want to stop for a minute and go back to cast iron and talk about...
All right, well, hold on. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk cast iron, and we'll talk some lamb, too. as we get going here on a as we continue here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network, talking a little bit of cooking here, and as we head towards 9 o'clock when the Gunner will join us. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning as we talk, take a little bit of break from other more serious things and talk a little bit of cooking. My guest is the All Marine Radio head chef, Kim Holmes. More of him coming up next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, Josh Grunberg, General Manager at PS Garage Doors. Don't let winter slow down your renovation projects. Call 772-DOOR today. Our experienced sales and installation teams are available to help you find the perfect style of garage door at the right price. PS Garage Doors has 42 years of experience installing garage doors on your home, business, or farm. We work in any type of weather condition to ensure you don't have to wait until spring. Install a new garage door today. Call 772-DOOR. PS Garage Doors for all your garage door needs. Online at psgaragedoors.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
General Sergeant Arley Ermey here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
America's wounded warriors, sometimes coming home can be a battle in itself. Every one of them needs our support to meet the challenges they face every day. The USO provides Americans a way to offer that support to our wounded warriors and their families. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives by donating today. The USO.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to Mac Talk on the All Warrior Radio Network. Oh, 8:04 on a Friday, Mike McNamara. I don't want to discuss it either. I am disgusted. We continue. We've been talking about, I had a question about Pan. Why does this beautiful aluminum pan perform so poorly for me? So Kim has answered the question, essentially, which is don't buy aluminum. It's cheap, pretty, but doesn't work well. So noted and written down. And you were going to make one more point about saucepans or something? Yes?
Cast iron.
Okay, cast iron.
Okay,
and the other big revelation is you don't put tomatoes in cast iron.
Right.
Ever.
It just taints the pan and the tomato flavor. You know, like making a tomato sauce. You don't make it in cast iron. You make it in, you can make it in aluminum, which probably every cook in Italy has a big aluminum pan to make their pasta sauce or boil water for their spaghetti.
Right.
But, saute pan stuff, go for a different, if it's going to be aluminum, which most of them are, get a Teflon lined. And then you'll be fine. Okay? And remember, you don't leave Teflon on high heat for very long because it'll blister the Teflon. You'll ruin the pan. But at, 20 bucks a piece, 25 bucks a piece, I guess if you're really flush, you can use them and throw them.
There you go.
I'm not that way.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. So we're talking about, we were on cast iron. Now, there's also one piece of equipment that I recommend to everyone, and there's two. You can buy a cast iron Dutch oven, or for probably about 50 bucks, and that is a probably a 7 to 12 quart round oval kind of, or round, it could be completely round. It's called a Dutch oven, and it has a lid on it and a handle on each side, so you can lift it up because it usually has something heavy in it. And that's just a regular traditional cast iron with a lid is what I make my chili in. And it is the best.
Okay, hold on. So here's a question. Why does chili work in cast iron, but tomato, some kind of spaghetti sauce, not?
Well, because for my chili, I don't use tomatoes.
No wonder.
I use ancho chilies. That's the dark red chilies. Dried. You reconstitute them. Meaning you soak them in water, and then you can throw them in the pan and saute them and grind them up however you want to do it. And then you add your meat and onions and jalapeno peppers, your cumin, But that's just traditional. And now my wife makes a spectacular chili, like most of us do, that is and she uses tomatoes and beans. Traditional Texas chili does not have beans in it. That's just the way the cowboys did it. They might serve beans on the side, beans and rice on the side, but chili is just meat and peppers, and the herbs. But The Dutch oven is what I use now. Le Creuset, that's capital L-E, capital C-R-E-U-S-E-T. It's a French oven. It's the same as the aluminum, but it's totally enamel on the outside, aluminum underneath the enamel. And that is probably your best pot to buy instead of the cast iron. And that can cook everything with or without tomatoes. It doesn't matter. It's a spectacular. The Dutch oven, you know, you can do casseroles in there. You can fry chicken in there because of the high sides. And, you know, you fill it about a third of the way up with oil. And you heat the oil and you have your meat thermometer, not your meat thermometer, your thermometer to stick it in and see how hot the oil is. You don't want to use a probe. And you try to get your oil for fried chicken at 375 to 350. And then it won't burn the chicken. And you cook chicken in stages. What takes the longest piece of chicken to cook?
I don't know. Why are we talking about cooking chicken? We were talking about pots and pans.
You
need to stay on. You got to stay focused, man.
I know, Commander. I know, Major.
All of a sudden, we're chicken cooking chili, and now we're on to chicken. All right, stay focused.
I'm saying the versatility of cast iron, whether it's enamel line, but the Le Creuset costs $249.
Whoa.
Or a 7 1/4 quart. I like my pot to be somewhere around 12 quart. But that's just my preference. And you can use that 12 quart, but that's very expensive.
That is
all
very,
I'm saying. But is, it's worth.
That is very
it's
expensive.
Worth it. If you want one piece of expensive, get a Le Creuset Dutch oven. And they have varying sizes, and the same with the cast iron skillets, but the basic skillet is a 12-inch with a handle on both sides. And then the rest goes to stainless. And just go to the store and look at all the cooking equipment, and when you buy something, make sure that the bottom is thick and it's relatively heavy, because that's what saves things from burning, is that extra thickness on the very bottom of your pan, no matter what it is.
Why does the pan being thicker save it from being burned? Because I thought that had to do with temperature and you not paying attention, or me not paying attention.
Yeah, well, that too, but thin metal burns quickly. The heat gets through the, and unless you are standing over something and stirring it constantly to keep things from sticking like a stew or chili, because I told you yesterday when I judged chili cook-offs, in town here, I did it for years,
yes.
And you could walk up to a contestant and you could smell whether it's burnt or not, scorched, you know, burnt or scorched. You can smell it. It has a flavor and an odor to it that you go, oh God, I'm not going to eat this, and you just push it by and give it a zero. But you know, you can use those, but you have to stand over it and stir it constantly, because otherwise it will burn if you walk away for 5 minutes. Now with the other ones, with a thick bottom, it holds the heat, it distributes the heat, and it keeps the things from burning. You still have to stir it. You can't just put everything in there and go read the paper. Okay?
All right. I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
And that's pretty much, you know, it's what do you cook at home? What kind of pan do you need? But for me, the most versatile pan in the kitchen is the 12-ounce skillet, and they run about $30, $35. So, and that's cast iron. That's a heavy pan with empty. So it's substantial. It's got a thick bottom. It's all cast iron. And the Le Creuset Dutch oven is something that you will love me for. It's a step out there in price range, and they have different size Dutch ovens. They've got them bigger than 7 quarts. I have a 12 quart here. I think that's the biggest that Le Creuset makes. And, that's just my recommendation. That's all.
Okay. All right. The we've got about 10 minutes left or so. Do we have time to talk about, Rack a Lamb?
Yes, we do. Let me just get my stuff put away and the lamb brought up here. You have the recipe and the picture of a rack of lamb.
The recipe's a little bit, that's the magazine piece, right?
Yeah.
And then you wrote some hand stuff that might need some kind of, somebody might have to decode that thing. Where did you learn how to write?
I failed writing in school. when I was in Morocco for a couple of months, I learned how to write with sand.
Oh my God! Holy smoke!
pretty much my handwriting. I'm sorry. I'll bet we'll rewrite that.
Well, I can. I'm trying to decode it. So don't feel bad if you can't read it. There's the article about roasted rack of lamb. There's next to it is the carrot casserole recipe that we know and love.
Yeah.
And then and they're delicious together. And then Kim has some instructions that I can read. I think I can read about half of it.
I'm gonna go over it quickly.
All right, go ahead. Go over the written.
First, I want to say where you can buy the lamb.
Okay.
And these are smaller lamb racks. They're 2 to a pack. They're from New Zealand. They're French racked. That means that the big long bone that sticks out of a lamb chop is skinned, all the fat's taken off, and if you're grilling it, you put aluminum foil over that bone so you don't burn the bone. Otherwise, we cook it in the oven, and it's 3 cloves of garlic, a tablespoon of rosemary, half a cup of olive oil, salt and pepper to taste. You blend that and you spread that out all over the lamb, except for the French bones. You put it on a raised rack on a small-sided baking sheet, with the bones, the fat side up, and then would take a cup of breadcrumbs, and after it's all dressed, and then pat them on, and then put that in the oven for maybe an hour to 45 minutes, or when the inside of the lamb, the meat side of the lamb, is at 125 degrees for medium rare, 130 for medium, and it could take 40 minutes or 30 minutes. It depends on the size of the rack. The rack you see in this picture, it'll take an hour at least. Okay? Maybe an hour, 25 minutes. And then you serve it. Mac and I love mint jelly.
I don't.
Oh, I thought you did.
No.
Oh, I love mint
jelly. I throw that stuff right in the garbage.
Okay, then the relish you have right here on the page will drive you wild.
I hate relish.
If you like normal Americans, you will like mint jelly. or a mint sauce. Now they're getting fancy. So what they do is they throw fresh mint in, and then they melt the jelly, and they make a sauce out of it. Very lame. But anyway, that's that. And you can knock yourself out with that.
All right.
And any questions, we'll answer next week for you. But it's Easter coming up, and you and I both prefer lamb to ham for Easter. And
I've got an email question for you. Hey Mac, did you see that McDonald's is now going to use fresh beef for their hamburgers?
Yeah.
And I saw that. It says coming soon to McDonald's, fresh beef. The fast food giant said Thursday it will swap frozen beef patties for fresh ones in its quarter pounder burgers by sometime next year at the latest in most of its U.S. locations.
Well, I guess Wendy's finally got to them.
This is a major change for McDonald's, which has relied on frozen beef for more than 40 years. Employees will cook up the never-frozen beef on a grill when burgers are ordered. Wow, how about that?
Now, I would love to see that. I would love to see it because that would be absolutely fabulous to have a Big Mac with a fresh hamburger or a quarter pounder.
Yeah, it says the quarter pounder. Listen to this. You're clairvoyant. Quote, "It's a really hot, juicy burger," said McDonald's USA president Chris Kempinski. "Fresh beef has been the biggest selling point at rival Wendy's."
Yeah, that's what I say.
Yet there are larger.
They finally caught up with Wendy's.
There are larger forces at work that have prompted other menu changes at McDonald's, known for decades more for the billions of people served than its culinary choices. The world's largest hamburger chain has been trying to improve its image as more people shun processed food. Last year, it removed artificial preservatives from chicken McNuggets and cut out high fructose corn syrup from its buns. Fresh, just a word and a concept, still carries so much weight with consumers. He believes McDonald's will continue this trend towards freshness,
yeah,
and it will help bring people back to the Golden Arches. So,
and I guarantee Burger King is not far behind.
The article goes on to say this: McDonald's tested fresh beef quarter pounders for about a year, eventually bringing it to more than 400 restaurants in the Dallas and Tulsa area. Customers ordered more quarter pounders and visited the restaurants more often, said Kempinski. Franchises were happy too, asking to keep the fresh beef even if the company decided not to roll it out nationally. How about that? All right. Just a little bit interesting. Do you have a favorite place in terms of national chains? Do you have a favorite national chain hamburger?
Probably I love the In-N-Out burger. I love that there was a hamburger place in Vegas that...
National chain.
No, national chain.
Okay, a local place.
I guess it would be probably Burger King.
Oh, really? So a national, In-N-Out's national, isn't it? I think so. It is now.
Burger King's international.
National. So you would take Burger King over In-N-Out?
Well, In-N-Out isn't national.
It's not? Well, I mean, it's pretty national.
On the West Coast, it is.
Oh, it is?
I would take an In-N-Out burger over a Burger King any day.
Yeah, In-N-Out, they use, it seems like, I don't eat very much of that, but my kids, that's where they'll go. That is their number one choice.
Yeah.
If it's in the area, and it is.
Yeah. It's a great burger.
Yeah, no, it's pre-fresh and whatnot. What, to you, what makes a great hamburger?
It's juiciness.
The juicy meat. So McDonald's on the right track here.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely, they're all right. And I haven't had a McDonald's burger in 5 years, maybe longer. They got to be so dry, and you go through the drive-thru, and you place your order. When you get the burger, you pull over to eat it, and it's cold. Goddamn thing's not hot. And I think the last time I had a Big Mac, I tasted, I just felt the bun, and it was ice cold. I took one bite. I got out of my car. I walked into the counter and said, give me a fresh one. This sucks. You know me. And they were great. They made it up, and it was hot. It was better.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for the secret sauce, man. When I grew up in Ohio, there was a place called Frisch's Big Boy.
Yeah.
It was a local hot hamburger stand. I'm sure they had them in Cincinnati, too.
Well, they have them all over they had them all over the country, Big Boy. That's where McDonald's knocked off the Big Mac from.
And the secret sauce. That's right. I used to consume those quite often when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And then in the summer, they came out. It's the first time I ever had a fresh strawberry pie with that strawberry glaze over the top. And the thing was about 6 inches high in the middle. And just loaded with strawberries, and the crust was great, and the whipped cream, oh, my God. Finish up. But the thing McDonald's has been outstanding with that I like more than any other food hamburger chain is their French fries.
Yeah.
They crack. Hands down, the best French fries. They're made in town here, in this part of the country. In Simplot, the McDonald's French fries is shipped all over. I don't know where it goes, but up pretty much a lot of the country.
Right.
But that's what I used to get for my French fries at Sanders. Was I'd buy the same things that they would use, and I'd cook them about 20, 30 seconds longer because I like a little crisper French fry.
Right.
It's just nice and soft in the middle, and absolutely great. And it didn't have any, you know, coating on the outside. It was just a French fry, and absolutely the best. And I thought that was great. Now, a key to French fries, if you're buying a big bag like that, you keep it in the fridge. You don't drop frozen French fries into the deep fryer because it brings the heat of the oil down, and then the fry soaks up grease. If you have a French fry at refrigerator temperature, which I always had a couple extra bags in the fridge, then you just throw that in, and that's why you get that crisp outside. And I'm pretty sure McDonald's does it that way. Yes, they get them in frozen. We all do, but they would let them come up, and that's their trick. That's their secret.
The story is interesting when you read the story of McDonald's. Ray Kroc is selling milkshake machines, and he's in Bakersfield, California. And he shows up, and he wants to talk to the owner. And I think it opens at noon, and he shows up at about 11:45, and the parking lot is crowded. And so he gets out of his car, selling milkshakes at the milkshake makers at the age of like 55, Ray Kroc. And he gets out and he starts asking people, what's going on here? And with that, people start telling him, oh, the French fries here are unbelievable. And he watches it, and then he goes in and he tries to cut a deal to buy the place. And it was the McDonald brothers. From Bakersfield, California, that had cracked the code on how they made French fries. And the traditional way to make French fries was you made them in a deep fryer and you fried fish in there, you fried a variety of different things. And so there was residues. And so what the McDonald brothers did was they didn't do any of that. They only fried their French fries in there and they rotated the oil. What you really got was the natural taste of the potato and the French fry and the salt. And so Kroc came back like the next day to see if it would happen again. And he said, wow, these guys are onto something. And since he had traveled around the nation trying to sell his milkshake machine, he knew fast food. And he said, these guys have a deal breaking thing going on. And that's the story. So the French fry really is the story of McDonald's.
It is.
And I remember the first time, I remember having them as a kid. I mean, that was like big time excitement, going to McDonald's and having their French fries was a big deal. Anyway, all right, sir. Well, I certainly appreciate all the knowledge. I did not. Aluminum pans look so pretty.
Yeah, they do. No question about it.
And so I was curious as to, because I always struggle when I use it. It's a pretty pan. Yeah. And I look at it and I say, oh, I want to use that. And I'll pull it out. And then when I do, cleaning it's a pain. The food sticks to it. Yada, yada, yada. And for all those reasons, are the reasons you're saying, yeah, don't buy it. Just say no.
And if you want an aluminum pan, make sure it has Teflon coating in it.
And that's as good as it gets.
Yep.
All right, sir. Well, you certainly have a good morning. Thank you for the cooking lesson. We appreciate it.
My honor and privilege to chat with everybody, and thanks for listening. And Mac's the man.
Yeah, Mac is the man. All right, sir. We will talk to you in a bit.
Bye bye.
That is the one and only P. Kimball Holmes, the chef with the mostest, and here on a Friday edition of the All Warrior Radio Network. I've got a, we're going to talk about Scooter Libby next, evidently. So don't go away. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hi, Josh Groomer, General Manager at PS Garage Doors. Customers often ask me, what does the PS stand for? Prompt service. Winter weather can cause problems like your garage door not opening or you and your car being stuck outside in the cold. For fast and reliable service, call 772-DOOR. PS Garage Doors is always ready to react to whatever snowball winter throws at your door. We are here to keep your door running all winter long. For your convenience, we offer 24-hour local emergency service in the Grand Forks area. PS Garage Doors for all your garage door needs. Call 772-DOOR or visit us online at psgaragedoors.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold
to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Veteran Sergeant Gnarly Ermey here with important information for veterans. At 2,600 American job centers nationwide, veteran and transitioning military personnel can find help with career counseling, resumes, and job placement. You want more information, don't you? The Department of Labor offers a variety of programs to help our military heroes find good jobs or continue their education. What are you waiting for?
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to Mac Talk on the All Warrior Radio Network. All right, let me share with you an email. It's from Bill in Ohio. Remember Scooter Libby, Cheney's chief of staff that is now a convicted felon as a result of the Valerie Plame investigation conducted by Special Counselor Peter Fitzgerald. He didn't have anything to do with outing Valerie Plame, but got taken down anyway. Now, so I had to refresh my memory. Okay, I remember. What was Scooter Libby ultimately convicted of? After deliberating for 10 days, the jury rendered its verdict in March of 2007. It convicted Libby on 4 of 5 counts against him, 2 counts of perjury, 1 count of obstruction of justice of a grand jury investigation, and 1 of the 2 counts of making false statements to federal investigators. So what did he get taken down for? Perjury? That's a crime. So I don't know about Scooter Libby got taken down. So that's what he was ultimately convicted of. And then he was pardoned. Perhaps Flynn's lawyers are pushing this because they cannot count on the fairness of the process. Shocker? Question mark. When Trump questioned the authenticity of the election prior to November 8th, Obama came out publicly ridiculing Trump and vouching for the election process. Once they lost the DNC, the TV media, and the Washington Post immediately latched on to this Russian meddling. Keep in mind that the major players at the FBI and the NSA have stated that they have seen no evidence that this Russian meddling actually affected votes. We know that Russia meddles all the time. That is not news. We do the same thing. Where are the details of this meddling? Creating idiotic websites that some idiots share on Facebook? That didn't make Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania vote against Hillary. We do know that in a final hour move, Obama relaxed the rules regarding the sharing of intelligence gathered through FISA surveillance. Evelyn Farkas, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense under Obama, admitted this on MSNBC earlier this week. The hard news people in D.C. find it very interesting. Flynn may be an ass bag, but I don't blame him for trying to protect himself in this cesspool. The real issues are bigger than Flynn. Now, the real issues might be bigger than Flynn, and he might be right. I looked up this Evelyn Farkas story, and I've done this long enough that when I see something I'm not familiar with, what I tend to do is I tend to search it. There's not one what I would call credible news outlet that carried this Evelyn Farkas story. So what it was MSNBC recut an interview on February 28 and aired it February 28 that it actually occurred and aired on February 2nd. So the question is, why isn't this a story? Okay. So again, it's more media. I think it's more media nonsense. Just my own personal opinion. So back to the question of Flynn. Does Flynn need immunity because of what happened to Scooter Libby? I guess what happened to Scooter Libby was he made false statements. So to the extent that the truth would compromise Mr. Flynn, then I guess that's what he needs. Or maybe he's already made false statements. And so it's not that he did anything nefarious relative to Russia. It's that he made false statements relative to what he did do. So I'm not exactly sure. I guess my point in all of this is, in a nation, you know, that is supposed to be, you know, built on compromise and the best interests of the American people, what we now have as a rule is sequestration. And we have non-functional government is what we have. And that's the rule. That it functions, that it compromises, and that it does the work of the American people seems to be the exception. And so Congress, the landscape that is Congress, is a sick, toxic landscape. And what changes that? And I think I think it is an interesting question to ask is this relative to the media. Are the public airwaves too important to leave to for-profit concerns? Should we just allow for-profit concerns to battle it out over the public airwaves? Or if you're going to use the public airwaves, do you have a responsibility to tell a balanced story, to have balance in there? My own opinion is this. Balance is important. Balance is important. And it would be my preference. And I think the absence of that balance has helped create and on a daily basis fosters this polarization of the nation. Because each side gets in their echo chamber. And I go back and let me play for you a little audio, since I have a few minutes here. So I need to find Ted Koppel. So give me a couple seconds. It was on CBS News a week ago or so. And so, hold on, let me find it, and then I'll play the audio. Norman Ornstein is on it. All right. So there's going to be a commercial that plays, no doubt. And now that I say that, watch, it'll come up and not play. And so you'll get to hear the piece that I alluded to. So the question is, are the public airwaves too important to leave to media outlets like CNN, like Fox News, and depend on their quote-unquote balance and fairness and their ethical view of their function in a democracy, or should it be regulated? Should it be mandated? Now, I don't know. So in terms of mandating and regulating, you know, what would they do? What does that look like? Well, it looks like Hannity and Combs. But here's
as this past week's battle over health care.
Here's Ted Koppel. The great divide runs about 9 minutes.
American politics shows no sign of closing or even quieting down. Our cover story.
This ran on CBS this morning, interestingly enough.
Ted Koppel.
Increasingly, we Americans occupy alternate universes.
The, this Charles Kuralt used to run this thing, you know, and they go to break with, like, chirping birds and things like that. It's very, dare I say, bland. It is not sensationalized. It's very relaxing. Human interest stories and things like that. So this is, I would say, a little bit out of character for it, but nonetheless, extremely interesting.
To be honest, I inherited a mess. It's a mess.
No, you inherited a fortune. We elected a mess.
There is very little common ground left, only battling perceptions of reality.
Are you all happy with the last 30 days?
Neither side seems to have much use for the other, and in this age of the internet and cable TV, very little is out of bounds.
Donald Trump, America's wealthiest hemorrhoid.
Democrats want to dissolve the borders. Isn't that what they wanted, open borders? Isn't that what the snake Obama did?
There are legions driving the country further and further apart.
President Trump has still done more for this country in the last 40 days than Barack Obama did in 8 years.
A Pew study finds 81% of voters say they cannot agree with the other side on basic facts, which may owe something to the president's campaign against fake news.
Of all of the media outlets, which one was the worst?
CNN!
Which one?
CNN!
CNN.
Just because of the attack of fake news and attacking our network, I just want to ask you, sir.
I'm changing it from fake news, though.
Doesn't that undermine...
Very fake news.
I know, but aren't you...
Yeah.
There's nothing new about simmering hostility between the president and the press.
The president should treat the press just as fairly as the press treats him.
In March of 1974, the Nixon presidency was lurching toward destruction by Watergate, and there was an ongoing tension between the president and the CBS White House correspondent.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dan Rather with CBS News. President,
are you running for something?
No, sir, Mr. President, are you?
Norm Ornstein, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, was then and remains now a student of our political system and our media.
We would watch network news shows, and we would sit there and we would have basically a common set of facts that would emerge from them. As we've moved to the new media world, the more we've got this cacophony of voices, the more you cut through it by basically shock value. And that's why people now are driven not by their own attachment to their own parties. They're driven by a hatred for those on the other side.
Democrats, the alt-left, propaganda, destroy Trump media, continue to ignore facts and what has clearly now become a political witch hunt.
Sean Hannity's television program on Fox has a nightly audience of 2.9 million viewers. He has, from the first, promoted Donald Trump and a highly partisan agenda.
Honestly, I think liberalism has to be defeated. Socialism must be defeated in a political sense. This is not a... We don't want a revolution in this country.
What more do you want? You got the White House, you got the House, you got the Senate. Okay.
And then we have angry snowflakes, and then we've got a Democratic establishment. I say the press in this country is out to destroy this president.
Well, the president's real troubles, again today, were not with the media, but with the facts.
It's absolutely crazy. He keeps repeating ridiculous throwaway lines that are not true at all.
I think the president is somewhat indifferent to things that are true or false. He has spent his whole life boasting. He has succeeded by boasting.
They live in...
That was a CNN guy saying bullshit on CNN. Before that was Shepard Smith saying he doesn't say things that are true. And now here's El Rushbo.
Two separate worlds, and they don't understand Trump's.
Rush Limbaugh had a lot to do with creating those two separate worlds, but he couldn't have done it until 1987, when the Federal Communications Commission did away with the so-called Fairness Doctrine.
Which was what?
The Fairness Doctrine basically said that people on radio and television, if they presented one political point of view, had to balance it with the opposite political point of view.
Welcome to the Rush Limbaugh Program, a program exclusively designed for rich conservatives and right-minded Republicans and those who want to be either or both.
Free of the Fairness Doctrine, Rush Limbaugh and conservative talk radio exploded into a political force of nature.
Now you take conservative talk radio, move that forward to tribal cable television, and then layer onto that email and social media. And all of a sudden, we live in a world where people can get information and believe it's absolutely true and not have to get any kind of opposing point of view. And once they believe it, they will always believe it, even if it's utterly false.
We have to give some credit to the American people that they're somewhat intelligent and that they know the difference between an opinion show and a news show.
Yeah.
You're cynical. Look at it. Yeah.
I am cynical because,
You think we're bad for America? You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do.
In the long haul, I think you
really?
And all these opinion
That's
shows...
That's sad, Ted.
No, you know why?
That's sad.
Because you're very good at what you do, and because you have attracted a significantly
you
more influential...
You are selling the American
well,
people short.
Let me finish the sentence
I'm
before
listening.
You do that.
With all due respect.
You, yes.
Take
you have point. You have attracted people who are... determined that ideology is more important than facts.
It is, says White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, a media landscape that his boss, President Trump, well understands.
He doesn't conform to Washington norms or political standards about saying the right thing all the time or conforming to this. He understands that he has a direct voice to the American people. He's got over 100 million plus people that follow him on different social media channels when you combine Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
You've heard the line that was in The Atlantic. The press takes him literally but not seriously. His followers take him seriously but not literally. Are we really at a point where we are being told we shouldn't take the president of the United States literally?
No, I think you should take him literally. The president's very authoritarian.
That's a ridiculous statement. and he makes it. You should take the president seriously. You know, I don't think there's a thing that Donald Trump says that he'll stick to. I don't, from the wall to any position that he's laid out. They're the beginning of a negotiation for him. And he is not an ideophile. He used to be a Manhattan liberal. Okay? So it's amazing. It's interesting to watch this.
When he speaks, he wants to be taken literally. You know, and also you have to understand that when you have 140 characters, that somebody trying to look at that and say, this means the following, is a little bit too much. And so
that's one good reason for not using.
Well, no,
Twitter,
No, it's not. It is, okay? And I'm not the biggest Ted Koppel fan, okay? But come on. I know, and Spicer's carrying water. I get it.
But I think a lot of times folks in the media feel threatened by the fact that he has a direct pipeline to the American people.
You want to grab him by the...
Last fall, after the release of the infamous Access Hollywood tape, the New York Times quoted Donald Trump in full, spelling out his obscenities on its front page, seemingly heedless of the paper's slogan, "All the news that's fit to print." Dean Baquet, the paper's executive editor, calls it a clear decision.
It wasn't even much of a debate, surprisingly.
If you'd just put F, asterisk, 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 that wouldn't have done it?
That feels coy. I think that there was something about the sentences themselves, the force of it, to have the video with him saying it, and then to have F dot dot K just felt like coy.
If I were a Donald Trump supporter, I'd be seething every day. I see these guys are out to do him in, and one way or another, it's going to be us or them.
Yeah. I think my job is to ask hard questions about the largest revolution in government we've seen in my lifetime as a journalist. Not to attack him, but to ask really hard questions about him. And also to ask hard questions of a completely new cast of government officials who we know very little about. I think if we don't do that, meaning the press, I don't think anybody else will.
Is there any way that the extraordinarily influential New York Times mm-hmm. can help to close the gap, heal the rift?
I don't think it's my job to heal America. I don't think that's part of the life of journalism. Some of what's happening in the country is healthy. There is an ability now for people to talk to each other. We're all focused on the people who say nasty things to each other and who say nasty things out loud. But that's not all that's going on. Call me a naive Southerner, but you can't convince me that this is not a more open, wide world, and that as much as it sort of throws us off our game a little bit, meaning the press, maybe we needed to have ourselves thrown off our game a little bit, you know?
It needs to be said that our bitter political divide didn't begin in the age of Trump, but it has evolved. Last spring, in June of 2016, a Pew study discovered that 49% of Republicans and 55% of Democrats say they are afraid, yes, afraid of the other party. As President Trump might say, sad.
That was Ted Koppel's report last Sunday. We're going to take a break. The Gunner will join us next as we continue on a Friday. And again, I raise that. Is the way we communicate and the loss of both, again, what I throw out is the McNeil-Lear NewsHour. Credible, articulate, where do you go for that? Certainly not to CNN, certainly not to Fox. Public broadcasting? Is that the only place it exists? So how does an informed public stay informed? Multiple sources, obviously. You got to read. Most people do that? I don't think so. I don't think most people devote the time. I mean, I do it because it's my job. But if you're working, do you have time to do that? No, you come home, you flip on the news. It is what it is. So, anyway, interesting. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the one and only Battle Mug itself. It starts as a 10-pound block of aluminum, milled, machined, and anodized, and then it's ready for you to make your own. Picatinny rails on the side allow you to put anything that's on the on your rifle onto the mug itself. Scopes, cameras, lights, laser, anything that goes on your rifle or pistol, you can throw on your mug. When it goes to the field, if it's in your office, there's a whole series of emblems, flags, and unit insignia that you can go ahead and order. You can check out the full line of products and all the accoutrement at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a perfect gift for any commemorative event, farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, get out of the doghouse event. All those work. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company, and the product's made entirely in the United States. More of All Marine Radio. The Gunner joins us next, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I still have nightmares.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life? The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit, into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
On Veterans Day, the nation honors the men and women who risk their lives to protect our freedom. Social Security does its absolute best to honor veterans and active duty members of the military every day by giving them the respect they deserve. For those who return home with injuries, Social Security is a resource they can turn to. If you know any wounded veterans, please let them know about Social Security's Wounded Warriors website. The Wounded Warriors website answers many commonly asked questions and shares other useful information about disability benefits, including how veterans can receive expedited processing of disability claims. Learn more by visiting www.socialsecurity.gov/woundedwarriors.